I do that. Good afternoon. Council will come back from recess. This is our afternoon session of the Portland City Council for Wednesday, June 17th, 2009. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Here.
Saltzman. Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. And Sue, could you please read the title for council calendar item? If I get to the right page, 860.
852?
I'm sorry, 852.
Portland to Milwaukee Light Rail, briefing on Willamette River Bridge and acceptance of the conceptual funding plan for the City of Portland contribution to the South Corridor Phase 2 Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail Project.
I'm going to make just some brief opening remarks, and then we'll turn it over to TriMet Executive Director Fred Hansen, Mayor Vera Katz, to talk about some additional aspects. The Portland to Milwaukee line of light rail is an important component of our city's high-capacity transit system and a key piece of our development strategy in the coming decades. As we seek to accommodate population growth, preserve the city's livability, and reduce our carbon emissions. As some of you might know, we've set out under the Climate Change Action Plan to reduce our carbon emissions by 80% based on 1990 levels by 2050, and we have provided sort of the prescriptive year-by-year increments of goals that we need to meet. At our June 2nd council work session, TriMet provided a briefing on the overall project as well as an update on the Willamette River Bridge design process. Our discussion today is twofold. To listen to a presentation on the recommended Willamette River Bridge design from the Willamette River Bridge Advisory Committee and a presentation on the conceptual funding plan for the City of Portland's contribution to that project, a contribution of $30 million. Under the leadership of former Mayor Vera Katz, the Willamette River Bridge Advisory Committee has met and considered designs for the past year. The group's charge was to help TriMet evaluate the universe of possible bridges across the Willamette and to refine the options to create the right bridge for this part of our city. Sue Keel, the Portland Bureau of Transportation Director, has led the city's participation in this committee and has kept other bureau directors and council members informed through periodic briefings. So I'd like to invite up Fred Hansen and Mayor Vera Katz to provide a briefing on this project. Welcome to the City Council. Welcome back, Mayor Katz.
Thank you.
So you each will have 30 seconds. We need your first and last name, and the clock in front of you will guide your comments. We find that what you can say in 30 seconds, no, I'm kidding. That should sound familiar. Who's going to go first?
I think I am, Mr. Mayor. For the record, Fred Hansen, General Manager of TriMet. It is a pleasure to be able to have the opportunity to be able to speak to you on behalf of the Portland-Milwaukee Light Rail. First, I'd like to compliment the City of Portland for the great partnership that we've had with you. I mean, if you think back over 30 years ago with the creation of the Transit Mall and your partnership on each of the five light rail alignments we've had to date, when I first came to TriMet, I remember working with then Mayor Katz as we put together the airport light rail and then interstate and now the Green Line to open on September 12th. The next project, Mayor Adams, has been obviously the key element of being able to put these pieces together, and we look forward to everybody being a part of the September 12th opening of the currently constructed Green Line and Transit Mall. I think we've learned many things since we first built light rail for the Banfield and downtown. I think recognize number one is that you can't just build it if you would build the perfect clock and expect that it will run without attention. The ongoing maintenance, the ongoing requirements to be able to keep that space active, to be able to keep it vibrant, is absolutely a key part of it, and it's things that we really see in the rest of our alignments as well. As we look forward to our sixth light rail line, It may, I think, be one of our most exciting. The 7.3 miles Portland to Milwaukee light rail project will extend from Portland State University to South Waterfront across a dedicated transit bridge to OMSI, and you're going to hear more about that from Mayor Katz, through Southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and on to Oak Grove in North Clackamas County. The dedicated transit bridge over the Willamette River will be the first one added to our skyline in 35 years, and likely the only one of its kind in the U.S. That is, the only one that is has in this case, light rail. It will have streetcar when the East Side streetcar loop is extended. It will have our buses that now travel over the Ross Island Bridge and will be able to reduce travel times by coming over that the new bridge. It will have pedestrians, and it will have bicycles. But it is only those vehicles or those individuals that will be traveling on it, not cars, not trucks. And it truly is, therefore, a signature bridge that reflect our values and be something proud of, that we can all be proud of for generations. We are just beginning the design phase. Unlike much of the discussion that's been around, as if the design is being settled in final detail, some of the broad outlines of that design are there. We have much more to do and are very excited by that, that project and the effort. But it's also important to note that the mobility needs of the whole alignment are going to be critically important. The corridor is expected to see, that is all the way down through Milwaukee, is expected to see 100,000 new jobs being created, particularly driven by the growth at OHSU, PSU, Southeast Portland, and in North Clackamas County. More than 27,000 daily trips will be carried on this line by 2030, and that is the highest projection we will have for any of our lines in that same kind of projection that is required by the Federal Transit Administration. It is going to be a very heavily used line. And building this line will create 12,300 jobs, something that in this economy I think we all find ourselves very excited by, even though construction would not begin until 2011. It will also produce $490 million of personal earnings. I really do think that the new alignment will be one of the most exciting. It will finally connect Southeast Portland residents by light rail. It will be, as I said, the first bridge in 35 years since the Fremont Bridge was barged down the Willamette to its current site. It provides tremendous opportunities to really influence the cityscape in a way that inspires and becomes a destination in itself. Besides having light rail on the bridge, buses and, as I said, the future streetcar will be a part of it as well. Mayor Katz has been instrumental over the past year and a half in helping to decide what bridge type and design we should select. I'd like to turn this discussion to Mayor Katz to update the council on these efforts.
Thank you, Fred. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, commissioners. Over the last year, the Willamette River Bridge Advisory Committee, that includes designers, architects, environmentalists, property owners, address the design of the bridge. As Fred said, the nation's first bridge with just transit, pedestrian, and bicycles, no cars. We reviewed a cable stay design. It's not up there. I wanted the council to see the designs. We reviewed a cable stay design, a wave design, which was beautiful and very expensive and unfortunately taken off the table. A refined cable. A refined cable stay and a hybrid cable stay. Miguel Rosales gave us the wave design and the hybrid cable stay. We ended up later with a new designer for our last design work. And this month, the group made a recommendation to TriMet to go forward with a refined cable stay bridge. It was selected because it was functional, affordable, and aesthetically appropriate for the site. The advisory committee clearly understood that a bridge means our future. And it's more than a bridge. It's a symbol for the community and for the future of the community. But the group was also aware that we had another responsibility, which was to move the light rail down into Clackamas. And that in itself was costly. And we couldn't spend all the money up front on the design of the bridge, unfortunately. Our work over cost and aesthetics still needs to be reviewed. We need details on our design. Our work is not over. The following are the issues we need to continue to study: the greenway path and the clearance under the bridge, the bulk and shape of the towers, lighting on the bridge, location of the lighting and overhead electrical systems, location, size, and shape of the overlook platforms for views by those who choose to walk across, and the height of the bridge, which will be one of the first issues that we will be looking at in August when we meet again. I urge you to ask the Warbeck to continue to work with the architects on these next steps. A design workshop would be appropriate for them, and before all the design decisions are locked down. The look and the feel of the bridge is too important to be left to TriMet alone.
Questions or discussion from the City Council for this esteemed panel? Commissioner Saltzman.
Just like to know, what is the issue about the height? You said that'll be one of the first issues.
You'll hear about it.
Oh, okay.
It deals with river passage issues, not in terms of design issues.
Okay.
This is the river passage.
River clearance. Not the height of.
No, the ships or the boats going under the bridge.
Okay. Got
it. It's still an issue.
Right. Maybe I can just do a couple of conclusionary comments. We really do thank Vera for it. I remember when I first called her to, with some trepidation to ask her to be able to chair this, it was with great pleasure that she actually accepted, because I think that we all know how much passion she is about design issues. I do believe that this bridge will be a signature bridge. I think that we will all be proud, as I have said numerous times. The test is, in 50 years, can the next generation look back and say, to be proud of? I think the answer is yes. On the financing issue, although you hear in more detail about specifics of it, I do want to be able to stress that we are pushing very hard the Federal Transit Administration to approve a 60-40 financing for this. That is 60% federal funds, 40% local funds. One of the key elements of that local funding has been, of course, the $250 million authorized by the 2007 legislature in authorizing lottery-backed bonds to be able to be used for local match. There are other elements you will hear more details about, but it is key that this project move ahead at 60-40. The past administration had, in fact, said that any project of this size really had to have only 50% federal share. That is something that we have never had as a part of our projects in this region before. We believe that the new administration is going to be much more open to that. We are working very hard on that. As we work through the various other issues, I mean, and these are issues for, relative to station locations along the whole alignment, the very high priority that the Clackamas County and the City of Milwaukee have put on to ensure that it terminates not in downtown Milwaukee, but at Park Avenue in Oak Grove. A series of other issues are very, very key and are ones that are being worked through. But I do want to stress that we're right now at the very early stages of the design. We are less than 5% design. And as we move through this next section of the work, that is moving up to 30% design, many more of the details will become available, not just in relationship to the bridge, but in relationship to all elements of the project. With that, we would be happy to answer any questions, and you have other presenters as well.
Fred, just for my edification, could you tell me, on a project of this magnitude, how much of this is dedicated for public art opportunities? Is this subject to a 2% or something?
1%. 1% against those things that are project related to construction. Our vehicles would not be a part of, have not historically been a part of that, even though we have to purchase vehicles.
And is a portion of that money available for some art that's incorporated into the design of the bridge?
Most certainly it would be. It would be throughout the area. Certainly the pedestrian areas on the bridge would be typical places where we would have this, certainly at the station platforms. But this is something that we utilize a advisory committee of local artists who both recommend and screen other artists for the projects. And I think we've been very pleased with what we've seen both on Interstate Max and on the Green Line.
Thank you.
Really appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Onward. Sue, do you have the invited testimony, or do I have it?
Your testimony now, or do you want the funding plan?
No, you come forward, please. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Thank you. Susan Keel, Director of Transportation.
And Art Pierce from Transportation.
In anticipation of our need to define a local match of $30 million, we've had a committee of PDC, Office of Management and Finance, Intergovernmental Relations, and ourselves working on a funding strategy for that $30 million. Today, what we're bringing forward is a conceptual funding plan that will be tied down definitively this fall. But I would say that I'm very confident we can produce the $30 million out of the sources that we're identifying today, although there is some additional analysis in a couple of categories that will tell us exactly what kind of a mechanism would be the best one to use in those categories. So I'm going to turn it over to Art to go through the detail on this, and then we'll answer any questions you might have.
All right. Hello. So we've identified five sources overall that would be appropriate to contribute as local match sources for this project. The first, and I believe that you have them attached in Exhibit A to the resolution. If you don't, I have additional copies here. So those five sources, the first identified is PDC tax increment financing in the amount of $10 million. So that's... And one important clarification to the note that we had added here is that in terms of for that tax increment financing, it's really related to the funding stream being assigned to, specifically to transportation expenditures. And so it's actually not accurate that it would postpone expenditures towards open space or economic development. So we had got some clarification on that, but very specifically towards the funding stream towards transportation. The next funding source is future parking revenues from the Bureau of Transportation in the amount of $3.22 million. The next amount, the next funding source is $5 million from a new funding source that we're calling the South Central City University District Science and Technology Triangle. And so this is the, I think, the least clearly defined at this point. And so that is either an LID or additional TSDC that is would be coming from the south end of downtown and then also the area that's being thought of as the Science and Technology Triangle and could even include some properties on the east side that are also receiving benefit of an additional station for light rail. So this source in particular, if council approves this conceptual approach, would give charge to staff to pull together a committee to further evaluate this source and make sure that we understand well the best mechanism and then also the best boundaries for that source. Next source is a reasonably straightforward one. So within the citywide TSDC, the Transportation System Development Charge, 1.78 has been assigned towards the light rail project and budgeted for the 2014 year. So that one is already well in line. And then the final one is the North McAdam Transportation System Development Charge Overlay. So that's specific to the North McAdam URA, and that's the amount of $10 million, and that was part of Council's action on April 8th in enacting that new source, which I believe goes into effect July 1. So we'd be happy to answer any questions specifically about these funding sources or other questions you might have.
I just have a comment, Sue. Yeah. When you came in and briefed me on this, we had our crack team figure out what the leverage was. And we took the amount of the local match and divided it by the total dollars, and we came to one. For every dollar of local match, we're leveraging $47 of other sources.
Pretty extraordinary.
How dare you come before us?
Without putting your number in there. Yeah.
I wish we had that kind of leverage in housing. But it actually is kind of extraordinary when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
For every dollar of local match, we get $47 from some other source.
Right.
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Other questions or comments? Commissioner Fritz.
What was the process for deciding the $10 million from the Tax Increment Financing District in North McAdam, and what won't get done in North McAdam because we're using it for this?
Sure. So the part of the way this council action is arranged, this is the proposed conceptual approach by council, and then there's additional process with the North McAdam Urban Renewal Advisory Committee and with the PDC Commission to discuss the best way of formulating this expenditure. So the process is really forthcoming for the most part. There has been some discussions with the North McAdam Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, but the process is yet to come in some ways. In terms of what won't come as soon based on this expenditure, I did some additional analysis and talked with staff at PDC. And essentially, between now and 2014, there's $12 million in TIF money projected to go towards transportation. And so by allocating the first 10 of that towards light rail in the near term, some of the other projects that we identified in the North McAdam Transportation Strategy, which council also heard in April, would be deferred some. I think some of the key ones, there's some pedestrian and bicycle connections that we were hoping to do in the near term, and then another would be the South Portal project wouldn't happen as soon as we might have hoped based on this expenditure. I think one key thing is that both light rail and Moody were both top priority projects for the transportation strategy, so it actually this expenditure is furthering the top two priorities for that. And because Moody were able to, we believe we're able to achieve that using other sources and not tax increment, we're actually knocking off a $10 million cost that was expected to be TIF through other sources.
If I could, though, take the opportunity in adding to Art's very good question, and that is sort of citywide fairness of citywide urban renewal districts and their relative contributions to light rail and MAX projects and sort of fair treatment of that. Interstate Urban Renewal District made a significant singular contribution to the construction of that line. It is not without controversy that we're contemplating a $10 million contribution from UR TIF resources out of North McAdam, nor has it been without controversy that I've asked that the $10 million of the SDC, transportation SDC overlays, be reallocated to the Portland-Milwaukee light rail line. Studied the issue hard. I think both are tough but fair contributions to this project, in part because this district will not work from a transportation point of view if we don't have light rail connecting it across the river and to Milwaukee. It simply won't work. It also needs the portals. It also needs other improvements. But having to prioritize and having to make trade-offs, I've determined that this is the more important first investment and that the portal, in part because we're in this recession, will be needed, but the need for it is pushed out a couple of years. So the need is there. We've had to make some tough trade-off decisions in terms of priorities, and that's what you have before you today.
So, again, if I could clarify,
sure.
The Open Renewal Advisory Council hasn't...
has not acted upon this proposal, but they have had an opportunity to discuss that, I believe, at their May meeting.
And the council is the Portland Development Commission's Budget Advisory Committee, but Portland Development Commission could say no. Is that correct?
So part of the charge to staff, based on if this is council's direction, is to firm up the commitment along all of these sources. So this new SDC for the university districts, technology triangle, science technology triangle, also needs a follow-on process in terms of its formation and solidifying its commitment. So I think there's a series of steps with each of these sources that we would initiate over the summer and then bring back this fall.
So supposing that the North McAdam Advisory Committee is more concerned about the South Portal in the immediate future than the bridge, is there any, if we vote for this today, are we saying too bad, we don't care what you think? Or is there a way for them to come back and say, no, actually, we'd rather do that for the portal
first? This
is
a resolution. So we've got a conceptual plan. This fall, we'll come back to you with the absolute tie down on each of the funding sources. So if that were to happen, then we're going to have to identify other projects that will be delayed or other funding sources.
Thank you. That's very helpful. Yeah.
But I also just want to say, I mean, I've met personally with the PDC commissioners to discuss this. So it is, as the commissioner in charge or the liaison to PDC, so there's that conversation has happened, and I feel that I wouldn't move it forward if I didn't feel it was adequate sort of potential for support. We've had discussions with South Waterfront stakeholders, the overlap on the SDC group and the Urban Renewal Advisory Group is significant. You know, they're not happy having to have these resources reprogrammed, but it is what I think is fair, and it is what we need to move this project forward, which is absolutely critical to meet our a variety of our goals, including our greenhouse gas reduction.
And I would say there's no easy choice on here. There is an issue with every one of these funding sources where something else is being set aside in order to make this commitment.
Right. Also, I understand that. I also want, I'm coming from the perspective of having come from Southwest Neighborhoods and been part of the North McAdam formation and knowing how important that South connection has been, and it's a problem now and needs to get fixed as
Absolutely.
Soon as possible. So I'm comfortable with the process that you've outlined and what you just said, Mayor Adams. I just wanted to make sure that we are going to get the feedback from the Southwest constituents as
yes.
well.
Yes.
Also met with President Vivelle at PSU to make sure that the assumptions we've made conceptually about funding from the university district were also, you know, on their radar screen.
Sam, can I just nail something down? So we're assuming a 60-40 split.
Yes.
A 50-50 becomes pretty unmanageable with these numbers, right?
This is our opinion, but we think you'd have to go to a regional solution if you got to the 50-50. I mean, it's another $101 million that would be in that local match. It would be very difficult.
You're asking us to put a $30 million marker down, and is that figure likely to grow or shrink at some point?
We'd like it to stay right there.
It stays where it's
That's where it is.
You heard it here first. It stays at $30
million. So we have a high confidence level in this
figure. Absolutely.
And the conceptual point is that, to follow up on Commissioner Fritz's question, it's conceptual because there's an interim process for you to nail down the details and come back to us.
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you.
And to further be very frank, we're behind. TriMet wanted this from us in January. The reason that we are late speaks to the difficulty of coming up with the funding sources during very difficult economic times. So I just want to underscore my thanks to you, Sue, and Art, and everyone, Catherine, Charlo, and my staff, but also to the forbearance of all the stakeholder groups for which I interceded at the 11th hour of a variety of discussions around transportation funding for various districts to say, we have to change our priorities, and I hope you'll come along. And for the most part, they have. And I appreciate that.
Sam, can I add one thing about TriMet, since Fred is here? When he was here for the last meeting, we handed him a letter as he was leaving, asking him to, on a temporary basis, restore a shuttle service that exists up in Washington Park, which would allow people who go to the summer concert series to be able to get home, get access to the MAX stop, and get home. And that program had been scaled back because of budget cuts and would not otherwise be available to people who were going to come watch the free concert series. And we gave him a letter that morning, I think, after the presentation, and he called me that afternoon with the good news that he was going to restore it on a temporary basis so Portlanders could enjoy the concert and use MAX. So I want to publicly thank you for that.
That's great. I think we've got some folks signed up to testify. Sue, who's on the list?
We have five signed up to testify. Would you please come up? Susan Pierce, Kamala Bremer, and Alice Cornwin Selby.
Hi. Welcome back to City Hall.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Can we turn up open up the light?
It won't work. She's got it all screwed up. This is too bright, and that won't come on. She's had to suffer through this today.
We'll see you through the darkness out there. Go ahead and come forward.
I'm fine.
Glad you're here. I think most of you know the protocols. You only need to give us your first and last name, no address, and you'll have 3 minutes, and on that big hunk of wood is the countdown clock. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Susan Pierce, and thank you, Mayor Adams and commissioners, for giving us this opportunity to speak today. I represent the Hosford Abernathy Neighborhood Association and a subcommittee, ad hoc committee, regarding train noise. I also am a member of the Noise Review Board and was a member of the original South Corridor, Milwaukee-Portland draft environmental issue Citizens Advisory Committee, and I remain a member of the current Citizens Advisory Committee. Those two, I don't speak for those two, but they inform what I have to say. I'm actually going to comment on two issues, so I'm going to comment briefly. First of all, because the light rail will be parallel and following and abutting the so the Union Pacific lines through the corner of Hosford Abernathy neighborhood, they will be required, the light rail trains will be required to sound their horn at 110 decibels as the big trains do currently. So that's 110 decibels in a pattern that is long, long, short, long at every crossing. There are four crossings, actually four and a half, that are, I'm not talking fast enough, that are involved, and those are include 8th, 9th, 11th, 12th, and Clinton. The people who live in Hosford Abernathy already are troubled by all the noise. When, by the time the light rail goes through, that'll be 200 crossings a day at 110 decibels. In the package, you have information about the health effects of the noise and the sleep deprivation. You also have a letter that I left at Representative Blumenauer's office a couple of months ago when I was going through as a part of a train trip. And I'll let you read those yourself. The effect, I want you to consider the effect on the use of that station by people standing on the platform with 110 decibels.
No, you have 30 seconds left, but I can tell you that this is definitely on our radar screen, and our work to get a variance.
Excellent.
Is underway, and I cannot imagine operating, nor I think I can speak for TriMet, I cannot imagine operating this line having to toot the horn that many times. So, oh,
and it's not just the TriMet trains, excuse me, Mayor Adams.
I was just going to go on to say we're hoping to wrap in the whole thing into a quiet zone. So we're hoping to get two benefits.
Excellent.
With one effort.
And I think that, thank you, you've saved me a lot of comments. And I think that ultimately we're going to need to look at a quiet zone for the entire city.
Did you have another point?
And the other point
is
that just the having to do with the bridge and the ped bike routes, one thing that is near and dear to my heart is, as the TriMet people know, is the ped bike route from Clinton to Carruthers and on up onto the bridge. And I'll say only that now, but you'll be hearing more from me on that. Any questions?
Very much. Please send us
more.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi. I'm Kamala Bremer, another resident of the Hosford Abernathy neighborhood. In addition to the packets that you all received, we gave a packet to Mayor Adams, which chronicles some of the work that has been done in our neighboring communities to get quiet zones established, including in the Pearl District here in Portland, in Tualatin. It chronicles the source of funding that has been found to go to that, including a letter from Representative Wu to seek federal stimulus funding to help fund quiet zones through Tualatin. I visited the Washougal a couple weekends ago, and you can go through town, and every railroad crossing in town is in a quiet zone. I moved to my neighborhood before there were train horn noises, when City of Portland did have what was called then a no-whistle zone, and it was with great dismay that I started not to be able to sleep summer nights. So it's really exciting to see that the technology is coming where we can make Portland a more livable community and not have people both having negative health outcomes from not getting enough sleep, but also untrackable safety concerns from people who are tired driving through our communities, operating heavy equipment, having accidents at work or with their children. So the safety concerns of having all the train noise is as much, probably more, than but not trackable as the risk of people getting hit by trains. So in addition, in Mayor Adams' packet, we have petitions from now 99 people. We're intending to continue circulating a petition asking the city and TriMet to work toward a quiet zone. People want something to do with their interest in this, and we thought that a petition that encourages the work toward a quiet zone and stating that that's really the only solution that will work for us. The waiver idea only solves one problem, and if funds go toward that solution, we're not solving a permanent problem. So with that, I will give up 50 of my minutes, and thank you for really seeking to solve this problem for us. Thanks.
And just by way of full disclosure, I live in Kenton, which is just blocks. My house is just blocks from the Union Pacific line, so I have a personal understanding of this issue.
Good.
The replicability of it and the ability to do it citywide is really hard, but this has got to be a priority. So this section has got to be a priority for us. We'll make it a priority. Hi.
Alice Cornyn Selby. And it sounds like you're already on board with this quiet zone thing. So are we redundant? Do we?
Well, what are you doing with your ukulele?
Oh, well.
You don't want to miss
gee,
that.
Now that you asked.
We like beautiful music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing music. How sweet the sound. You all have a favorite song, but play it 200 times a day. It wouldn't be your favorite for long. Light rail is due to enter southeast, but as the construction draws near, put it in your plan. A quiet zone would be music to our ears. And if you think my singing is bad, just be glad it's not at 110 decibels.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's a first. Is that a first?
I am relieved to find out that you're so fond of this quiet zone thing. That's great.
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to testify. Sue, who do we have next? Try to top that, people.
Yeah. Which poor person is next?
Yeah.
Robert Pickett and Margot Menison.
All right, Mr. Pickett. We accept maybe an interpretive dance number or something.
Very difficult act to follow.
Welcome to City Council. I think you both know the protocol. Go ahead.
All right, Adams, members of the council, my name is Robert Pickett. You may recognize me as one of your employees. However, in my off time, I am the vice chairperson of the Bicycle Advisory Committee for the City of Portland. And I'm here to express the committee's appreciation for an aspect of this project. It's the committee's understanding that the initial plans for the bridge or the Willamette River included just a 12-foot bike ped facility on each side of the bridge. And we were concerned about the narrowness of that width, particularly considering the steadily increasing number of people riding bikes in our city. It's also our understanding that through some brainstorming and thoughtful collaboration between City of Portland staff and TriMet folks, they were able to find 2 more feet for each side of the bridge for a total of 14 feet of a bike ped lane on each side for not too drastically much more money. We want to say that we appreciate the work that's gone into that, and we understand that this is a very complicated and expensive project, but appreciate hopefully the city council giving their endorsement for this project, particularly the slightly increased amount of money for the wider bike ped facility. I think in the long run, our investment in bicycle and pedestrian transportation infrastructure will be paid back in spades in the form of decreased congestion, decreased energy use, a cleaner environment, increased health, and a stronger community. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Hello again.
Hello again. My name is Margot Menison, and I'm speaking for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. I'll echo Officer Pickett in thanking TriMet and the city for, and the bridge engineers for working to maximize the width of the bike and ped path to 14 feet. That's our understanding is that's the extent of the path that it can be widened without changing the structure of the bridge. And we also want to emphasize that it's really critical to not take away any of the extra 2 feet we've been given in light of the goals outlined in the Bicycle Master Plan, the Platinum Update, and the Climate Action Plan, expecting that bicycle ridership may grow to 20, 25, 30% mode share by the year 2030. And just looking at the Hawthorne Bridge today, which is a 10.5-foot wide path, that seemed wide in the design process. But now it can feel uncomfortably and dangerously tight. So again, we just want to support the 14-foot wide path as the design process moves forward. Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Appreciate it. Unless there's additional council discussion, Sue, would you please call the roll?
Fish.
Well, I'm Sue and your team, thanks again for the time you spent educating me on this and briefing us on and answering our questions. As I mentioned earlier, I'm not only very enthusiastic about this project, but just incredibly excited about where we're setting the bar in terms of leverage. I mean, this has got to be up there. Pleased that we're putting down a marker on the $30 million. And I appreciate the mayor's comments about some of the heavy lifting that is to follow in terms of working out the details and working with folks. But this is the obvious next piece of our build-out and is going to be an enormous plus to our community. Fred, again, thank you for your courtesies you've extended to the Parks Bureau and the continuing relationship. And, Mayor, thank you for your leadership on this issue. We are ahead of the curve in many areas, and in transportation, you know, we keep setting the pace. As I tell my new Portland Housing Bureau, I want at some point to be known nationally in housing the way we are in transportation. And that means every last marginal dollar that's left on the table in Washington we want in our pocket. So congratulations, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Salzman.
Well, I forgot to ask Fred Hansen about the status of the Barber Boulevard light rail line, but I'll save that for the next time I see him, because I know that's next up. But I do want to thank you all for doing a good job. Thank the mayor for his leadership and Sue Keel and TriMet. This is an exciting, it's an ambitious project, but I'm certain we'll pull it off. Aye.
Fritz?
Well, thank you to the mayor and the mayor's staff, the Bureau of Transportation, Bureau of Planning, Sustainability, and TriMet. I especially appreciate having a work session on this a few weeks ago. That was very helpful to me to be able to ask my questions in a more conversational setting. And I especially appreciate Director Sue Keel and I sharing the concern that we just heard from the Bicycle Transportation Alliance in terms of bicycle-pedestrian interactions. And it's good to know that everybody is nodding at me here and sharing those concerns and aware that we will do even better on this bridge. And so that's very exciting. It's a very complex project. Obviously, it's going to be very complex funding. And so I'm appreciative that this is a conceptual plan that's being brought to us before it's a done deal and that there's going to be a lot more process to help figure out those details. The project will improve mobility for thousands of residents of North Clackamas County, Southeast Portland, and the entire city. And it will be beneficial in reducing greenhouse gases through the alternative transportation modes. It's exciting that the city of Portland, Oregon has the first bridge of this kind. And it's a remarkable design. I thank Mayor Katz for her ongoing participation in this project. It's quite amazing to me to be sitting up here with Mayor Katz sitting down there. I couldn't think of a single question that I could ask her. I'll be working for more towards the secure final funding package. I'm particularly interested in working with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability on station planning in the station areas on the east side. That's going to, I hope, be part of the Portland plan and is very necessary. Thank you to the citizens who came in today and voiced your concerns. I think certainly continuing to educate your fellows with the petition is a way of doing it, but as you can see, it's definitely something that we care about too, and it's not that we need 1,000 signatures in order to be able to make this happen. We want more people participating, though, and we want people getting excited about this project and participating in the planning. So thank you for your work on that. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I'm incredibly excited to have been part of the initiation, funding and initiation of 3 streetcar line extensions. This is my first extension of light rail. And that couldn't have happened without countless sort of citizens who've been involved with this, stakeholders. We've got a fantastic partner in TriMet, and our reputation for innovation in transportation is in large part because of our, we've got TriMet as a partner, and Fred, you're just a fantastic leader. Also because our Bureau of Transportation is as innovative as any out there. So Sue and Art and your team, thank you. And in this particular case, Catherine, who's my the transportation director in my office, thank you for all your great work on this. This has been a hard one to come up with, $30 million sort of in these trying times, but I couldn't be happier about it. Thanks to my colleagues for their support as well. Aye. We're on our way to Milwaukee. That is the only agenda item that we had, so council is recessed until 6 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, June 18th.